Yeah, Josh was pretty excited too about those goalie pads, especially when he got the ball in the head. He thought he should have had the goalie pads up by his ears. John chapter 17. I wanted a racetrack in the worst way as a kid. And apparently my dad did too. So I got one. of course, the key was to not burn those cars out right away because they just had a little magneto. made contact with the track, and of course the sliders on the bottom of the car would wear out. So apparently I wore them out probably in about first day or so. My dad said, well, maybe I could put some solder on the bottom. So sure enough, he soldered the bottom and we raced again for another day. The things that we do to have fun with our kids certainly is a privilege and a delight. But as you think about that, I want you to think about the fact that just as we seek to bring joy to our kids, the Lord seeks to bring joy to us as his kids. And in John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus has been doing what the Father has told him to do. He's been an obedient son, and he's been having fun, as it were, doing the Father's will. He introduced a bunch of fishermen and tax collectors to the message of God's grace. This undoubtedly affected their lives, but little did they know or understand what God was going to do in and through them. John chapter 17 is referred to as the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus, and I've heard it read and applied in so many different ways that I'm not going to suggest that I'm going to do it any justice, but I am going to read some of the verses here this morning. And I want you to imagine for a moment that you're hearing the Lord Jesus pray. Oftentimes the disciples' prayer is called the Lord's Prayer, but in fact this is the Lord's Prayer right here. And this passage is, again, just such a powerful passage to know the Son of God who came as a babe in a manger, and as Nathaniel was saying, who lived his life so that we could live, teach us how to live. He not only taught us how to live, but as we focus on at the Easter season, we realize that he taught us how to die. In fact, he taught us how to die daily by being willing to do the Father's will. After Jesus had said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. Oh, to be there and to hear these words. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Now, I don't want you to think about the cross at the moment. I want you to think about his birth. I said, boy, I can't quite do that. It's just its anticipation of his death. Well, I want you to see it from the perspective that this may very well have been a typical prayer that God, the Son, would have said, Father, I'm ready to do your will, whether it's being born as a child or being living as a man or dying as a son of God. Okay? So here we are. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, for you granted him authority over all people. Going back to our Colossians passage, Colossians 1, 15 to 20, where God has granted the Son all the authority. all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now I want you to realize that the Father seeks to draw all men to himself without exception. He sought to draw Judas, just so you understand, without exception. Lord Jesus is seeking to draw all men. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. Not the light of some, not the light of only those who have responded, but I am the light of the world. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. How will you give God glory? By completing the work God gave you to do. What is your work? As a father, it is to be a father. As a husband, it's to love your wife as Christ loved the church. Your work as a child is to honor your father and your mother. As a teenager, it is the same, even as you were as a child. Verse 5, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. At which point we can only imagine, as we have read different passages that speak to the glory of God, speak of the majesty of God. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. Lord Jesus is still interceding for you and for me. Read that in Romans chapter 8, making intercession for us. Can you imagine that the Lord right now, as we're about to break bread, sees every heart and every motive? He knows where you're at in terms of the intimacy that one that he longs for, and maybe you don't realize, but he wants you to draw near to him. And he's praying. And he's praying that you would just come a little closer. The reason I want to break bread with you is so you'll come a little closer. Come a little closer so I can put my arm around you and let you know how much I love you. Communion is, just go back a few pages. John chapter 13. I'm going to give you men some opportunity here in a moment. I just wanted to focus just a little bit on this right now. Verse 1, it was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. How do we show a reciprocal? How do we demonstrate that we have appreciated his love? How do we demonstrate a love for God having received his love? And so Jesus prays for us. And as I get one day older, as every day goes by, I keep reading, I keep praying. I know I'm walking with you and you're walking with me, but we're walking with the Lord. We're walking together with the Lord. Some of us are on the fringes. Sometimes we're glancing in different directions. And we can hear Jesus speaking, as it were. I'm just using it as a metaphor. But we don't hear the detail. And so someone a little closer to Jesus says, did you hear that? And he said, no, I didn't hear that. Was that important? Come and listen. Come. So you get a little closer, and then you get distracted by something else. And next thing you know, you're out on the fringes again. You hear somebody say, wow. I say, what's he wowing about? I don't know. Maybe we should get a little closer. Maybe we should draw nearer to God. Maybe as we break bread, you might be able to hear through his word and by his spirit that he just wants to draw you closer to him, because that's what he's praying about for you, for me. Lord, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your word. Powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, judging the intents and the motives of our hearts. But Lord, you know us completely, and we confess that our motives are often mixed. On one hand, we want to give you thanks for all that you have done, to know that we're forgiven, but then when you ask us to do things, we get a little reluctant. You can't be asking me to do that, Lord. But you do. And you're waiting for us to walk closer with you and to obey you. So as we break bread here this morning, we pray that our hearts would be receptive to things that others will share, that our private prayers would be those of worship, maybe even of confession, that we would realize how much you love us. So thank you, Lord, for each one here today. Bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Provide opportunity for some of you men to come and share.
Good morning. I'd like to read from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Wow, that that's just so much said, right? You know, he created the world, and the very beings that he created didn't recognize him. But yet, and I want to look at verse 12, he says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. I believe in him. I'm a child of God. There's a song out there that's called No Longer a Slave to Fear, for I am a child of God. Really enjoy that song. But this is just amazing, that we are his children, right? The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Wow. And he came full of grace and truth. Also want to read Hebrews chapter 1, first couple of verses there. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So that's what he's doing right now. He sat down at the right hand. He's seated there. And we get to still worship him here while we have breath. So, let's just pray. Lord, we come to you this morning. I want to thank you for your creation. Thank you for your love, your loyal love, full of grace and truth. Thank you that you're merciful to us. Lord, help us worship you the way you deserve, Lord, as we celebrate throughout this season that you came to be born, and but yet you were there at the very beginning. You created all things, you created us, and then you humbled yourself and came through the virgin birth, Mary. And Lord, but you did that for your perfect plan to redeem us to you. Your focus was to go to the cross and to pay for the penalty of our sins so that we could have life. Lord, I want to thank you for that life. Help us to take it to heart and to give you glory. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Get you to turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Christmas time is always such a special time, and I remember too being a small kid. just the excitement that it brought, and just hearing the Christmas story. But you know, the Christmas story is important. Jesus coming to earth, as the passage that Frank read here, and the Word became flesh, it's critically important. But it's only one piece. Him coming to earth when he came as a baby, and also his death, his resurrection, and that he's coming again. That is so exciting and also so important for us to realize all those things as we celebrate his birth. So let's read Isaiah chapter 9, starting at verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your great love for us, and thank you for the willingness of Jesus to come to earth, to become man, and still be fully God at the same time, to live among us, to share his life, Lord, and also try to help people understand why he came, and then to give his life. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift of salvation that you brought to us. Thank you that we have sure promises that you are coming again to set up your kingdom. You're becoming as king. Help us to think about that often. Help us to be encouraged by that, and also that it will reflect how we live our lives. Thank you so much, dear Lord, for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Record here. Thinking about the phrase "a bruised reed he will not break," and just went back to Isaiah and was reading that, and it's just really amazing. There's a lot of stuff there. So if you want to turn to Isaiah chapter 42. Starting in verse 1. It says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. This is what God, the Lord, says, he who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand, and I will keep you, and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeons those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you." And it's just really cool to read through that, because, having some of the context from going to Bible class and understanding that, you know, the nation of Israel is in a covenant with God, and that he was supposed to, or that they were supposed to be a light to the Gentiles. Jesus really showed the way in that. But to free captives from prisons and to release from dungeons those who sit in darkness, it's not necessarily physical places, but, you know, like Mike was saying, like that intimacy, if you're far away, if you're on the edge, if you're not in fellowship with God, then you're sitting in those dark places. And so it's just really cool how understanding the different stuff, and just in the Christmas season, and reflecting on Jesus' life and his birth, and just how that all really ties together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today, and just as we're looking forward to the Christmas season, and Father, there's so much, I guess you could say, wrapped up in it, with gatherings, with just different celebrations, and getting gifts and stuff like that, and just pray that we wouldn't lose sight of the real reason why we're celebrating, and just pray that each moment we would rejoice in the anniversary of your birth, and looking forward to the coming your coming return. Pray this in your name.
If you turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, in chapter 5. It's talking about, Paul is telling the Corinthians about his mission, the application of Christ's sacrifice and how that is working out in his life. And it says in verse 9, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well-known to God, and I also trust are well-known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you shared this through Paul, that we could recognize our mission, and as was Paul's, in that he recognized that he was to help reconcile the world to you, Lord. And we pray that we would take this message and this news, this great news of salvation and forgiveness to the world, and that we would see that as our life mission. We just pray these things in your name. Amen.
Want to break bread. Colossians 1. Light of the passage that Nathaniel read for us, the Apostle Paul had a very keen interest in seeing brothers and sisters in Christ growing, maturing. He took it personally. He felt an obligation to nurture the flock. He probably knew a lot of people, but couldn't keep up with them all. And so as he wrote the letters, he wrote them fairly pointedly, intimately. Did he know that we would be reading them thousands of years later? I don't think so. But isn't it amazing how God can use this to encourage us? And so thank you, men, as you've shared from different passages to encourage us and help us to just remember why we're here. Paul writing to the Colossians, whether he actually met them or not, we're not sure. Likely that he heard about them, and he wanted to make sure that the letter that he wrote to the Ephesians was, that message basically would have been passed on. And so it's possible that having written Ephesians with a fresh thoughts in his mind, he wrote Colossians because many of the thoughts that are in Ephesians are also found in Colossians. Some say that it was just a copied letter from a book of Ephesians. I'm not quite persuaded of that. To the holy and faithful, verse 2. Brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. Isn't that a wonderful way to get a letter? You just got that letter today. And you're reading those first few lines. And already you're encouraged, and you just can't wait to hear a little more, so you read a little more. Yeah, the faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you've already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. And when I heard the gospel came to me. I didn't go to the gospel. Someone invited me. Someone was praying for me. Someone shared the marvelous news with me. And I want you to realize that chances are that's true for you. You may have been seeking God, true, but God reached down and sought you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing just as it has been doing since the day you heard it and understood God's grace and all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Those of you who are coming to serve here this morning, please come on up. Ask one of you men to give thanks for the loaf. Thank you.
Lord, we come to you and are just grateful for your great love that you have for us, your willingness to die for us so that we could be set free. Thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for all these brothers and sisters here and just coming together for one purpose, and that's to worship you, to commune with you. I just pray, Lord, that you, as we pass the bread around, Lord, that you will bless it as we remember you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord, we thank you again for how you humbled yourself and you gave yourself for us, and how you shed your blood for us. And, you did all that without grumbling or complaining. And we just pray that you would help us to live by your example. And, we thank you for the blood that was shed for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Turn in your hymnals to number 88. Now I need a piano player. Who's willing to play the piano this morning? Somebody. Come on. Where's Samantha? She here? Who's that? Kevin. Come on, Kevin. Come on up here. Who? You guys are pointing at everybody else. Come on, I need somebody up here to play the piano. This is not a difficult song. It's not a sharp and so on. This is just all easy stuff. If I could do it, I would, but I can't. You'd all run. Come on. Who? Akahu? Kevin, you can't do it? No? Okay. What about you, Kim? Can you do it? Nathaniel can. See, again, more hidden gifts. I'm telling you. Okay, let's stand together. I'll try. Corny, come and try. You know this song. Yeah. Where's your hymnal? It's right behind you. Yeah. Okay, Corny, come and lead us. Fairest Lord Jesus, you not have a hymnal there? No, no, you don't have to play the piano, Corey. Well, good. Thank you. That's great. Now I think I might be able to lead it. Some more hidden talent just showed up. That's good. Just give us an intro and then we'll go. How many for you is the first time you've heard this? Praise the Lord. You're going to get a chance to hear it in heaven too. And Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Fair are the meadows, fairer still the woodlands, robed in the blooming garb of spring. Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer, who makes a woeful heart to sing. Fair is the sunshine, fairer still the moonlight, and all the twinkling starry host. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer than all the angels heaven can boast. Beautiful Savior, Lord of the nations, Son of God and Son of Man, glory and honor, praise, adoration, now and forevermore be thine. Two hymns dear at my funeral, this one here, and More Love to Thee. You know that already, so. Brad, do you want to come up and close our time in a word of prayer? Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time of the year when we think more deeply of what it meant for you to come to earth and live the short life that you lived here, to die for us, for our sins, to be resurrected so that we might have eternal life. Thank you that we can celebrate that, rejoice in it, and know that our future is sure with you, and to share that with others. Go with us now as we go from here, and continue to fellowship with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Greet each other with a holy handshake.